to swing.
You're listening to Shelley on All Things Southern.
Hello, folks, and welcome back. My guest today is author Becky Kapitsky of The Cranky Mom Fix. She'll be on later with solid tips on avoiding the irritable mom monster that can hide in all of us. It seems a perfect time to hear from Becky, too, with school letting out and the house filling up, when the best laid plans for the perfect summer with the littles can melt like Bluebell ice cream on the sidewalk. Yes, that Bluebell plug was for Papa. He still thinks they should sponsor me. But speaking of summer, I've been trying to tell myself I need to get my beach body ready for swimsuits, shorts, tank tops, etc. But my stretchy, closed, oversized shirts hoodie body won't quit laughing long enough to listen. She irritates me. I say we ignore her. So tell me, did y'all hear about the social media challenge Kiss a Cow? Not lying. It's a big thing in Austria and Germany, aiming to raise money for charity. Although saner minds are warning people not to participate because they could get trampled by the startled cows. You think? I remain amazed by the things people need to be told that should be obvious. But what with outdoor activities ramping up and the possibility of tourists wandering through our southern states, yours truly feels duty-bound to offer a public service announcement. No matter what you see on social media, it's also a very bad idea to goose a gator. You're welcome. Welcome back to All Things Southern. As promised, I am visiting with Becky Kapitsky, author of The Cranky Mom Fix, and I appreciate your being by today, Becky.
Oh, thanks so much, Shelley. It's really fun to be here with you.
Well, I am looking forward to this discussion, but you know, we have got to set out a disclaimer first, because I am thinking that maybe some of my listeners are like me. They no longer have littles under their feet. They may be a Gigi or a Nani, a Keggy. That's my grandmother name. But we can all identify with what you're talking about in this book, correct?
Yes, absolutely. This book, it's for the moms of any stage or season, but for anybody really who has charge of children at some point, whether it's a grandma or a nanny or a babysitter, an auntie, anybody who finds themselves in a situation taking care of kids and gets frustrated with the process. I mean, it's, you know, naturally it's for moms, but it's for everybody across the spectrum who feels a little bit on edge sometimes when they are in the responsibility of taking care of kids.
And it's never what we intended. I mean, that's not, you know, we didn't set out like we get pregnant and we go, okay, I'm going to be the cranky mom. No, we're going to be the perfect mom. Right, Becky?
Oh, absolutely. That was my plan. Wasn't that your plan?
That was my plan. I remember thinking, I'm not going to be that mom that yells and screams at her kids. I'm not going to raise my voice at my children. Oh, no. And so, Becky, you know what I did?
What?
They grew up and I found myself lowering it like, so yeah, I know about who we intend to be and then what can happen.
Yes, there is a vast difference, isn't there? I think what we don't realize when we are just starting out or before we have children and we idealize what it's going to be like, what we don't realize is how all of these factors are going to come out of nowhere and they're going to test our sin nature. And our sin nature is not always going to respond the way we hoped it would have. And that's where the crankiness comes from. I mean, I have so much terrible experience with it, and I've really learned from digging into scripture how to face that, how to manage it, how to ask for God's help through it. Because, oh my goodness, sister, without him, where are any of us? And so that's really, the book is centered around not so much us moms, but are we pointing to Jesus? Are we asking him for help every single day?
And that's why you're on All Things Southern today, because when I saw your book and I saw that it is your faith in Christ that you're using, you're going back to the foundation time and time again for how we do this thing the way we want to. And that is applicable to life in general. So you apply that to the momster, who is, that's what you call yourself, right? Sometimes the momster.
Oh, yes. And my children call me that sometimes too. They recognize when she's, you know, sort of lurking around the door.
Well, you've gotten so much good advice in here, and I want to kind of dig down into some of it. But first, you and I were talking, I think before we came on air, we mentioned something about this, and I really want you to begin speaking to that. Oftentimes, whether or not we're momming littles or, you know, we're a busy grandmother and we have grands running around everywhere, we can say that the way they're acting is making us cranky. But you say, oh, no, Mom, you're making yourself cranky. Yes. Talk to us.
Yes. Well, ultimately, we are responsible for our own hearts, are we not? I mean, the Bible says the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, or guard your heart because everything you do flows from it. And so kids, absolutely, their behavior is a trigger, but there are lots more triggers than just the kid's behavior. And 100 other things can cause us to be cranky in parenthood. Response is always up to us. And for a woman who is guided by the Holy Spirit, cranky is not our only option. We have choices. We are not a slave to sin. And so we can very easily say, my kids are making me cranky. But hey, stop for a second and consider your own heart. Are you allowing your own heart to be tempted to be cranky? I mean, temptation itself, not the sin, how we respond to it, becomes the sin if we don't make the right choice. And believe me, I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is in those moments of temptation just to blow or to get impatient or to hide in the bathroom, which actually I think is a really good solution if you need to just lock yourself up for a few minutes. But so, you know, the book talks about this. Let's really examine who's the enemy here. It's not our kids. And then we go through a lot of practical suggestions for how to dig into scripture and apply it to those tempting, cranky situations.
At the end of each chapter, you find those. You have something called Let's Dig In that's going to kind of take you deeper into what you discussed in that chapter. What would be one of those fixes? Can you, off the top of your head, that you may have mentioned in the book?
Oh, well, you know, one of my favorites is to keep scripture in your heart. So one of the fixes, I offer a lot of scripture in the dig in or discussion questions or reflection questions, because one of the best tools we have for fighting our anger against our kids is scripture. And so I like to sort of argue with myself. So if my cranky self is saying, the momster's saying, you really want to blow up at the kids right now, you know, I tap into the Holy Spirit and I replace that thought with the scripture. So I'll say, wait a second, Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one with her own hands tears hers down. And so it becomes a process of practice, and it certainly doesn't come naturally. But after a while, I'll get in these situations and recognize, okay, that's the momster talking. I'm going to fight against her with scripture. And that's just one of the ways that we can dig ourselves out of those tempting moments to blow up. And sometimes, honestly, I've even found myself laughing when I realize how ridiculous it is that I'm so frustrated with the kids about something that really is kind of inconsequential, but how I was about to respond to them would not have been inconsequential. And so scripture can be a protection for us. It really is. That's why it's important to keep it tucked away in our hearts.
You just touched on like my favorite tip. To go back to the word. I mean, the word is our answer. The word is our tool. And to speak that word to ourselves in that moment is huge. So thank you for bringing that wisdom to All Things Southern. I know that everyone can benefit from that. Talk to me a little bit about how to recover when we don't do it the way we want to do it, Becky. Like when I told you, you know, very honestly that I remember thinking I wasn't going to holler at my kids, and so I lowered my voice and growled at them. What are you going to do when you set out not to be cranky, Mom, and then she just slips up on you, Becky?
Well, you know,
what are you going to do then?
The good thing is that we live under grace. And so we got to remember that those nasty mom fails that we are going to face, they do not define us. They do not define us long term. They are not who we are as a parent, as long as we are still in touch with the Lord. And we can use our faith, our relationship with God, to repair those situations and even redeem them. And my advice is always, first, just humble yourself. You know, I, before the Lord and before your children, I am a huge believer in a genuine apology. I'll come to my kids and say, look, I know what I just did was wrong. I know I shouldn't have raised my voice, or I shouldn't have snapped at you that way, or I shouldn't have been so swift to punish with a consequence before we had a conversation about it, whatever. It's all age appropriate, right? But I will come to them and say, I did not handle that well. I've talked to Jesus about it. Will you forgive me also? And sometimes I'll come right out and tell my kids, you know what? I really think that I could use your help. If they're old enough and not in a way at all that manipulates them, but I will ask them for help. You know, I'm having kind of a rough day today. And I know that one of my triggers today is that I'm tired and I'm preoccupied. I'm busy with some deadlines. And so it would really help me out if the two of you would stop bickering over that game. So can you do that to help, you know, not put me in a situation mm-hmm. where I'm tempted to fall? And so it becomes a team effort. Mm. And so I'll tell them, look, I really need help in this area and I want you to hold me accountable. And that gives kids the ownership mm-hmm. to recognize not only their part in the situation, but also how they can help their mother and work together to be the kind of family that is following God's word, following God's will for us. And so it's all about humbling yourself, acknowledging that mistake, asking the forgiveness, holding your kids responsible. Ultimately, they probably had a part to play in it in many situations. Hold them responsible for it. It's not like they're off the hook for their part in the blow up. But at the same time, we never want the kids to think that they are responsible for mom's behavior. So we brainstorm some solutions together. Hey, how can you help mom? How can you help me in this situation? I was really tempted to be frustrated, or I blew up and I shouldn't have. How could your behavior change to help me change my behavior? And so in the end, I really just want to remind my kids, though, that they are loved and unconditionally. It's never, my love for them is never dependent on their performance. And ideally, hopefully, their love for me is also not dependent on my performance. And we have a conversation about that. You know, I know I snapped. I thank you that you love me anyway. And I will always love you. It's not dependent on your behavior. So lots of ways that we can just use biblical principles in the moment of mom stress and use it as a teaching moment for our kids.
I did the same. I apologize to my children, and I have often spoken to young moms and encouraged them to do that, because one of the things that I believe that you get out of that is so, so very important is for that child to know that you have an authority over you and your actions. And when I would go to my children and say, I remember one time in particular, Becky, that I was following my little girl around the house, like stressing the same point I had already made. If you follow me, you know, like just, you know, yeah. And I remember Holy Spirit tapping me on the shoulder and saying, that's not how I talk to you. You know, that's not what I do. I make my point. I do not hound you. I mean, I could just feel his presence with me. And so when I went to Jessica and explained that to her, you know what? I corrected you the right way the first time. But mom is sorry that I have continued to stay on this. And, you know, she was old enough to understand what I was saying, and that she recognized, I said, the Lord corrected me. Well, when our children realize that we're saying, look, I live under God's authority, I cannot do anything that I want to do. I just believe it is so empowering, the message that we want to get across to them, that they need to grow up with their need bent to God. Amen.
Absolutely. Okay. We are under the authority of God, and our kids need to see that in us so that they can learn they too are under the authority of God. There's so many ways that we can demonstrate our faith and action to our kids, and we can use our positive experiences and our blow up experiences to point them back to him in that way, to recognize that, you know, mom ultimately is run by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to explain to you now how I have mm-hmm. messed up in this area, and I am accountable for that. And that gives them by example some lesson in accountability that they can apply to themselves as well, don't you think?
I certainly do.
Jesus can redeem everything. I just love that. He can even bring that mom failure and bring something sweet and positive and teachable out of it. I mean, I call him the win-win God. You know, just keep everything submitted to him and he is win-win. I want to touch a minute on something you said earlier. That you were telling, you know, that you could let the children know, you know, cranky mom may be lurking nearby because I have deadline stress on me, or, you know, something else that is in your life. That's so important. And as moms, if we just deplete everything that is in us, look, get ready. Cranky mom's coming.
Absolutely.
Right?
We have to take care of ourselves. We can't allow ourselves to become depleted. I'm the queen of this. You know, I allow deadlines to drain me. I allow overscheduling to become a factor in our family. And I have learned over the years to put parameters in place for that. But I've learned the hard way how important it is for a mom to take care of herself so that she can better take care of the children. I think a lot of cranky mom moments could be averted in the first place if we were better fueling ourselves spiritually, emotionally, physically. And, you know, a lot of moms are going to say, well, when am I going to do that? When do I have time to do that? Because, you know, I'm taking care of everybody else. And there is a lot of truth to that. That's why we've got to get creative about how we fuel ourselves, allow God to, God wants us to rest, right? God, he grants rest to those he loves. That's what scripture says. And Jesus, if we use him as an example, he was always going off to a private place to pray, to refuel. And it's so important for me. God designed Sabbath into the calendar to begin with. And when was the last time you took an actual Sabbath? Mm-hmm. Again, I'm terrible at that, but I'm recognizing more and more the need for caring for myself so that I am better equipped to pour into my kids in a kind and gentle way.
So wise, because we are not inexhaustible. He is. We are not. And when we realize that and we keep going back to be refueled, to be recharged with the only inexhaustible source, and that is Jesus, the well that he is, then we can minister life out of that, and we can mom out of that, and we can go in his strength. Talk to me about paintbrush words.
Well, in the book, The Cranky Mom Fix, I talk about a difference between hammer words and paintbrush words. I am a huge advocate for using God's word to train our children, but not only in moments of frustration and not only as punishment or consequences. If we're constantly coming at our kids with, I told you were supposed to share, the Bible says you're supposed to share, or I told you not to lie, the Bible says do not lie, then all they're seeing is half of God. They're seeing the judgment part of God. They're seeing the corrective behavior part of God. But paintbrush words, those are the hammer words, right? When we use scripture to sort of pound into our kids, but paintbrush words, as opposed to a hammer, which hammer some nails in the wall, the paintbrush word will actually transform the wall by painting it a different color. And when we use scripture to encourage our kids and guide them through their positive choices, then they see the full picture of God. So I can look at my child and say, I know you're going to do great on your test today because God created you with wisdom. And he says, if you need wisdom, you can ask him. He did not give us a spirit of timidity. So I want you to go in and be courageous about this exam today, whatever the situation is. Or if I see my child has done something right, I want to affirm that with scripture. I don't only want to point out their mistakes with scripture, which is the hammer word, but I want to affirm them and encourage them with scripture as well. And that is going to help them see that God is not a big cosmic police officer, you know, just waiting to hammer them. He actually is actively involved in every aspect of their lives, the challenges and the joys. It's so important to use scripture in the full spectrum so that our kids understand God is involved in every aspect. And that's a wonderful thing.
There is so much wisdom right there. You know, Becky, if you didn't say anything else on this podcast today, my listeners, sweet listeners, y'all could just rewind and listen to that again, because there is incredible wisdom in realizing that we must be using this word of God in their lives in the full spectrum of it. I call it Bible beatings, and everyone has been on the end of a Bible beating, right? And you're just like beat up by the word of God. And I think it grieves God, because Jesus is not a Bible beater. I mean, he did not beat people with the word of God, with what his father was saying. And we don't want to do that either. And so, yes, please, y'all listen to what Becky said and talk to your children with those paintbrush words that give the full picture of Jesus, even as you're using, you called them, the hammer words, right? The hammer words. And they're good words. We need to hammer that nail in the wall and put a picture on it. We need that goad there to know how to live. But yes, indeed, make sure you're completing the picture. Paint it with the wonderful words of God, encouraging them. Amen. Thank you, Becky. I love that. And you could tell, I really could just park there. But I'm wanting to get in a little bit more before I let you go today. So I'm going to move on to the family rules that you speak of in your book.
What are they, and how did you come up with them?
The family rules system is brilliant. I don't take any credit for it. There is this wonderful three-rule system that we were given from some friends who got it from their parents. And mm-hmm. this system has allowed us to boil all of our family rules into three. Because early on, it seemed as though with every time our children did something wrong that needed correction, mm-hmm. my husband and I would come up for a rule against it. You know, like, don't jump on the sofa. Then somebody stuck their tongue out. Don't stick your tongue out. And then, you know, spilling chocolate milk, you know, because we weren't paying attention. Okay, don't flail your arms at the kitchen table, whatever. Mm-hmm. Before we knew it, we had more rules than even we could remember. So this three rule system is so brilliant because it covers basically every type of behavior in just three rules. And those mm-hmm. are, for us, number one, obey the first time, because delayed mm-hmm. obedience is disobedience. And that's biblical. Mm-hmm. Obey the first time. Number two, no disrespectful talk, which could be no sassy talk, no, you know, no back talk, whatever language you use in your family, but no disrespectful talk. Again, that, you know, we're looking here at Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And then the third rule is no hurting someone on purpose. And what I love about that is, first of all, it makes room for accidents, because accidents mm-hmm. will happen, and we have a lot of grace and forgiveness for mm-hmm. accidents. But no hurting someone on purpose, it focuses on the heart intent, and it could cover anything from emotional hurt, nasty words, to physical hurt, kicking, mm-hmm. biting, pulling hair. So those three rules have been instrumental in our family, because it has allowed us not only to boil everything down into three rules that our kids can remember, but it has been such a simple process for us to point them to the rules. And so if my daughter would say something disrespectful, I'd say, which mm-hmm. rule did you just break? So we used it also as a training ground. And we had a consequence system involved, but the rules not only help define what is right and wrong behavior, but they're very well aligned with the Bible. And then mm-hmm. third, the kids were able to apply their own behavior and recognize what they had done wrong, where it fit within those rules, and understand why it was wrong, because we had constant conversations about it. So it was a training tool for them to understand what behavior is acceptable, what are the good choices, and what are the not so good choices. And it, all with three simple rules that we could post on the refrigerator. And we have used them ever since.
And, you know, I think the whole wide world needs to live by the three family rules.
Amen. I mean,
we could just get the three family rules out for all of us, just life rules. Those would be great. I cannot help but think, and I'm sure it has crossed your mind when you began talking about how the rules develop without you realizing it, until, you know, suddenly you had so many rules you couldn't keep track of them. I immediately thought of the precious Israelites in the Old Testament, and all the rules that came out of them trying to obey God, and it grew to a place that was never intended. And this is what Jesus wanted and lived and died and rose again to free us from, is the excessive rule keeping.
Yes.
And Amen. We are in grace now. So your three family rules did that for me. They reminded me of grace, and there is no better place to end this interview. So I'm going to have to let you go, but I want to just thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you by. What else are you working on? Anything coming after this?
Thank you for asking, Shelley. You know, I am always working on my blog. I've got lots of blog posts going up. I've been doing some writer coaching, and I'm looking forward to the Cranky Mom Fix, sharing it with the world, and then just waiting to see what God has for me next. That's the best place to be, is to see what He's going to call me to next. And I'm kind of excited about it.
Well, tell the folks how to find you.
You can find me at my website, which is BeckyKopitsky.com. And that, or if you don't really want to figure out how to spell Kopitsky, you can go to CrankyMomFix.com. CrankyMomFix.com has got information about my new book, and also has a way for you to access me on my blog site.
I will be happy to put all of that in our show notes.
You have an open door here at All Things Southern. If there's anything else on your heart, give me a call and we'll have you back.
I would love that. Thanks so much, Shelley. It's really great to talk to you today.
Cathead biscuits, shrimp Creole, the kind of eating that sticks to your soul.
You're listening to All Things Southern, brought to you by Providence Church in Lake Providence, Louisiana, where they want you to know you are loved. Welcome back to the All Things Southern Kitchen. We're talking Farmer Phil's Vidalia onions. That's my husband, and this is his recipe. Feel free to share it with yours. It's delicious served with a nice steak. Now the money is on the Vidalia onions, y'all. They'll do everything but fire up that grill for you. But please, show your appreciation and brag on your man a bit. Mama taught me that trick. He'll want to do twice as much to please you the next time. And just think, you don't have to clean up the kitchen. We'll begin with 4 large Vidalia onions, a tablespoon of butter, a dash of salt and pepper, and a dash of Heinz 57 steak sauce. We'll core the onions and fill the hollowed out places with salt, pepper, and butter. Drizzle with Heinz 57 and wrap them in foil. Grill for about an hour or until they're tender. We like to allow 1 onion per serving. That's Phil's Vidalia onions from the All Things Southern Kitchen to yours.
Well, I like my living down country style, and this little girl would walk a country mile to find her a good old slow talking country boy. I said a country boy. Hope you're liking what you see. 'Cause if you're looking at me, you're looking at country. If your eyes are on me, you're looking at country.
Before we go, let's open the Word together. Jesus is talking in John 14:21, and he says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." That is one of my favorite scriptures. I say amen to hearing from Jesus. Friends, do you want to hear God clearer? I've got a tip for you. Yield quicker. Obedience is a hearing aid. Let me say that one more time. Obedience is a hearing aid. That's it for now. If you're enjoying the All Things Southern podcast, would you be so kind as to give it a review and share it with your friends and family? Many thanks. Remember, you can also subscribe to my newsletter at the website, that's spellofallthingssouthern.com. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. This is Shelley with Hugs for All.